All right. Well, let's quiet our hearts and prayer. Word, Lord, your word is a discerner of our thoughts, and it pierces us through and divides the soul and spirit asunder and exposes us and lays us bare before you. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that as we go into our Bible study now, that our hearts would be ready to receive from you and behold wondrous things from your word. I ask that you give unction to Pastor Paul as he teaches us on your goodness. And oh, Lemmy, we leave here today saying that the Lord is indeed good. Thank you, God, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, as Daisy and I were driving to church, a sense of thankfulness of the goodness of God to set aside one day out of seven for our own good, to rest and to get away from the ruck and muck of day-to-day life, but just a day to focus on Him. And I was just, a sense of thanksgiving came over me as I just thought, how wonderful it is that God in His goodness, in the very beginning of Genesis chapter 2, 1 to 3, hallowed the seventh day, which now has become the Lord's day. I would like you to take your copies, and I thought a good way to begin is the words of the psalmist in Psalm 23, when he ended it with that phrase, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." I would like you, if you would, sing with me. I love to sing this. So if you have your sheet, sing it with me. You ready? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. When I knew I was going to speak in this, I just said, we have to open with singing this chorus. I love it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'd like someone to read, to begin our time in the goodness of God, to read Psalm 107. Eric, would you read it, please? Psalm 107, 1 to 8.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the land, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered from desert places, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank God for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men.
The later in verses 15, 21, and 31, almost repeating the verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." You cannot... I've lived many years, and all I can say is the older I get, the more I can embrace the goodness of God. One of my favorite expressions is, all those monuments of grace that adorn my pathway, and the monuments of grace are His goodness. Well, let's ask this question. How would you define goodness? Eric, I'm going to put you on the spot. I like you. What if you were to define goodness, how would you define it? Well, according to, as you understand from the scriptures and as you understand, as you have experienced life. But could you put that in other language? Can you add anything to that? You don't have to, but I just want to involve you. I like to involve people in our back and forth. Someone asks you, what does goodness mean to you? Okay, forget about the Bible. What does goodness mean to you? We'll get to that. All right, very good. Okay, anybody else want to come in? All right, let's look at the professional level. We say somebody is a good doctor. Somebody is a good dentist. Whether somebody might be a good politician. We use that term good. What do we mean when we say somebody's a good a doctor, a good, or we say that in the trade, in tradesmen. Like, I wanted to get my rug cleaned. So I went to somebody at the bank that I knew a lot about people that are in that business. And I said, "Tell me, do you know any good rug cleaner?" And she sentenced me to, got me to one, and he'd done it for about a third of the price of the others. So when you think about the goods, could you use the word approve? Someone that you approve? All right. How about this? Morally and ethically desirable. Like you say in the finance, you make a good investment. What do you mean? It's going to be profitable, right? Okay. Yes, Marva. Say that again. Without flaw. Very good. Okay. Well, I don't know. Okay. Without flaw. that's making it pretty fine. Okay. Well, look at your outline. Now we want to look at as it relates to God. Look, I have it said here, resides within. Matthew 19:16 was this. A man came, he said, excuse me. He says, "Good master," in Matthew 19:16, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" No, "What good thing must I do? What good thing?" And the Lord says, "There's none good but God." Now, that's what we want to look at for a little bit. How do we describe the goodness of God? I'd like to ask you a question. How can we see, notice it says, the goodness of God is His own nature. How can we prove that? How can we prove that the goodness of God is in His own nature? I want you to turn to Genesis 1. Before God created anything, there was just God. Is that right? Okay. But now look. Look at look at verse 4. "And God saw that the light that it was good." And now look down here here, verse 10. "And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good." So that way we know that the goodness of nature is in him, or he couldn't have created something and called it good. He had to have goodness there to begin with, right? Okay. And we won't take the time, but it's about six times he said it was good. And then in verse after he's done creating, 31, what does he say about everything they created? It's very good. Very good. So goodness is in his nature. It's his very essence. Always the same. His creative work is of the highest excellence and perfection. And the older this old man gets, the more I love to look at God's creative work. I love to see the beauty of the sunset. You've heard me say this before. But when I was in the Philippines, I just love to go back to see the beauty of that sunset. When we were crossing the Philippine Sea, and the sun was coming down, and it cast its all variegated colors upon the sea. And it was so awesome that I was able to get a picture of it. And so I'm speaking now. You see the goodness of God in giving us so much to enjoy. So much to enjoy. Just think, he could have given us just one brand of meat. But he gave many kinds. One fish. Many kinds. Vegetable. One kind. Flowers. One kind. He gives us so much to enjoy. And the more you enjoy, the more you love him. That he'd given us so much to enjoy. Oh, I tell you, it's good to be old. It really is. It's good to be old because you learn to love who God is. And all that he gives to us day by day. See, goodness is the behavior and the self-revelation of God. Any question on that? In other words, God reveals himself by giving us so much that we might know who he is. I'd like Moses, he says to God, he said, after the debacle of Exodus 32, when they made the golden calf, and Moses stood in the gap and interceded, just like the Lord Jesus intercedes for us. He stayed the hand of God's judgment. They said, show me thy glory. And God says, no one can see my face and live. But now I want you to see how God reveals himself to Moses. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. And since you're sitting here, Pastor Bob, I want you to read and I want you to comment on it. Okay, he showed he didn't show him the physical glory for his Isaiah, but he showed his glory in how he revealed himself to Moses. Yeah. In Psalm 145, in Matthew 19:17, God says, there is none good but God. So that means that God is the standard for goodness. When we say, when we talk about, I talked about in the realm of life, as we live it out, we can say somebody's a good doctor, a good pastor, or a good, but when it comes down to measuring goodness, we have to go by God's standard. He's a standard by which we measure goodness. Before we go on, it's what he approves. You see that in your note? It's what God approves, whether it's good or not. Let's go down to our second point. God's goodness is seen in nature and all his creative work, which I just started about. Someone turn to Acts 14:17, and every time it rains, you see the goodness of God. Someone get Acts 14:17. Romans 1:20 says this, where it says God revealed his wrath from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth on unrighteousness. And then he says this, for what may be known of God is manifested in them because God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And we know that by that, on Friday night, it snowed. At about 9 o'clock, I went out to shovel snow. And it was so beautiful. I was the only one out there. And I was shoveling this snow, and I was just amazed at the beautiful white snow. It was just so beautiful. That's God's goodness to give us so much to enjoy. Even at 88, I still shovel snow. Yeah. I know what you're going to say. That's amazing. That's amazing.
And that there is a tripartite design in every snowflake that reflects the triunity of God. I mean, that, when you see such complexity and beauty in nature, how could you not appreciate God's glory?
Oh, I'll tell you, I really appreciated Pastor's message this morning, because there you see the love of God. That he would warn us like it. That's the goodness of God to warn us like that. That's how much he loves us. Okay, look at the next one. B, God daily bestows blessing upon all. In Psalm 68, verse 19, that he daily loadeth us with benefits. We take them for granted. But just think of the blessings daily life of what he gives to us. We sit down at the table and we forget that we're eating the food and drinking the beverage, whatever, because of God's goodness to us. We take it for granted. But don't take God for granted. Oh, the more you let him be, the more you see God's hand in everything, the more he becomes precious to your soul. I would like someone to, you see, his created work is for the benefit of all mankind and for all created beings. Matthew 5:45. Well, I'm quoting this. I want someone to turn to Psalm 145:15-16. God is good. He cares for everything that he created. It's made out very clear in Psalm 145:15-16. But in Psalm 5:45, it says his goodness to all people. He causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. And he calls the sun to shine upon the evil and the good. Now, someone read Psalm 145:15-16. You just think of the animals, the birds that aren't attractive. Yet he cares for them. He cares for everything he created. Any questions before we go on? Okay. Under here, look at B. The unsaved experience the goodness of God. We just spoke at Acts 14:17 and Romans 2:4. It's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. In other words, the knowledge of God is in each one of us, saved or unsaved. The knowledge of God is in each one of us. And to prove that, there's not a civilization that ever lived that did not worship some God. So the knowledge of God is in everyone. And so he manifests his goodness to bring them to repentance, just as Pastor Bob was preaching on last week and again this morning. See, the wicked often prosper in this life as a result of God's goodness. I mean, you see the wicked prosper and we say, oh, we may be envious of them, but that's all the goodness they're ever going to get, just the goodness of this life. Sometimes God withholds goodness from this so he can draw us to himself to give us the real goodness, which is the next life. The goodness of God, and under two, the goodness of God does not put him under any obligation to give the same blessing to all. I remember when I was on the farm, we went through about 3 years of where there was a lot of drought. And we would hear, and I mentioned this to you once before, but you may have forgotten, in Lancaster County, some places would get rain and some places wouldn't. And it just seems we never got rain. But that he's not obligated to give everybody rain. He don't have to explain what he does. But one thing is sure, those who didn't get rain made it cry out more for rain. There again, you see the goodness. See, we can't look at everything God does as punitive. We have to look at everything that God is good. And what if he withholds, he has a divine purpose for it. It takes us a long time to know that. Or understand that. But the more this old man is tested, the more I love him because I see his care for me. Oh, the goodness of God. How can you help but love him? And the more you love him, the more you'll see his goodness, which is so wonderful. Let's look at Roman numeral 4. God's goodness in particular to his people. Let me ask you a question. What has he given us that is an absolute certainty of his goodness? What has he given to us to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt his goodness to us? Okay. Yes. But I mean something that we can experience within ourselves. Yes. But I'm thinking of something, maybe I didn't question it right. What is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, mercy, long-suffering, temperance. It's a fruit of the Spirit that's dwelling in us. We got from Him. It's not of us. It's something He gives to us. His very essence, His very nature is goodness. And that's what He imparts to us when He dwells within us. He gives us the Spirit of goodness. And just as you said, Anya, in sending the Son of God to lay down His life as the Good Shepherd, John 10:11 says that He gave His, I am the Good Shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. You see, did you ever listen to family radio and listen to Ham? What's his name, Bob? Did you ever hear him describe the galaxies? I mean, when you think of the amount of galaxies that are in this universe, our galaxy is the Milky Way, but just in our galaxy alone, just think of what He's given to us, and to think that He made many galaxies, they say thousands of galaxies, and to think that He would become a helpless babe in a manger in Bethlehem to take upon Himself humanity from a Jewish virgin so that He could suffer hell that Pastor Bob was talking about in our place. What eternal goodness. By the way, when did His goodness to His people begin? Before the world began. Someone get Ephesians 1:4. And read verse 5 too, whoever gets it. Anthony, do you want to read it?
Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ and Himself, according to the kind intention of His will.
Now, I want you to think about that. His goodness to us before the world began. There was nothing about us to commend ourselves to Him. We weren't even born. But He knew the life of each one of us that He would bring to Himself. Now, let that grip your heart. That He chose us, not because of any good in ourselves, but by His goodness and sovereign grace. I want you to look at Romans 5:8. See, He knew we would be enemies. Even while we were enemies, Christ died for us. That is goodness, superlative goodness, that's infinite goodness, that He would so suffer for eternal judgment in our place while we are still enemies. Look at 3. His goodness will give them the gift of repentance and faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 and 2 Timothy 2:25. Someone gets 2 Timothy 2:25 and I'll quote Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not a works, lest any man should boast. For ye are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now just think of that. Just think of that. He has so gifted us the gift of faith and the gift of repentance. They're both gifts. Just think of how good God is. It's not something that we constructed in our own self that, oh, I need to repent. No, it's a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. Any questions? Any questions that we want to? Then I'd like to ask you to look at number 4. His goodness of keeping grace upon all whom he saves. I want you to think, go back over your life. From the time that the Lord saved you, I want you to think of all the times you've seen his hand of grace in your life. Now, we're not talking about grace, but we're talking about goodness. But it's this goodness that allows him to bestow his grace upon us. There's so many evidences of his goodness to us. Would someone want to share just a testimony of where you recently experienced goodness, the goodness of God? Okay. Wednesday, I was given. Some people had mercy upon me because they knew I shoveled not only my own snow but the neighbors, and so I was given a gift of a snowblower. So I went to Lowe's. I went to Lowe's, and I went back and I saw the box and I thought, oh, if I take it out of the box, maybe I can get it in my car, that little Saturn. And I thought, no, that's foolish. So the lady said to me, she said, why don't you rent a truck for $20? I said, that's good. That's better than have Bob come down from Yonkers and paying the toll and then paying it going back. And I said, well, no, yeah, okay, I will rent it for $20. So I went up to the, they told me where to go, and I said to the lady, I said, she said, well, before you rent it, you have to have proof of your, you have to leave your credit card here. You have to have proof of everything. And I said, okay, I had my credit card with me. But I said, how am I going to get out? I knew, I only knew the way there by the parkways. I didn't know how to get home other than by the parkway. So there's a man standing next to me, and so I said, I'll show you how. He had a business in Flushing. So he writes down all the directions, and by that time, I mean, I showed a little nervousness. And what do you think he said to me? He saw I was nervous. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, my business is in Flushing. He said, I'll take it home for you. Is that goodness? So he took it home. He happened to be Chinese, so I introduced him to my wife, Daisy. And I couldn't wait to pay him. Would you believe he wouldn't take a cent from me? Is that goodness or not? That is wonderful goodness. And I'm going to want to talk about this later, but there's an example of the providence of God. How many times were you averted from some tragedy because God intervened? Or had you, like the people at the World Trade Center, people on the flights, 9/11, they missed their interruption, something. Just, I guess, what I'd like to say to you is, I've come to really love the Lord. And I'm just so thankful for his goodness, his patience. That's his goodness, his patience with each one of us. Just think how patient he is. And then looking at the keeping grace. Can anybody quote Philippians 1:6? That when he takes a sinner up, he doesn't give him up. Anyone, the goodness of God there? Can you quote it, Eric? He that begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's that?
Amen.
Okay, all right. Okay. Here's something that I've learned to love. In Hebrews 12:10, his goodness is seen in the way he disciplines us. None of us like discipline, do we? But it's for our good. That's his goodness. Someone read Hebrews 12:10. Someone read Hebrews 12:10.
For they disciplined us for a short time as it happened, as it seemed best to them.
for he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness.
That we might be partakers of his holiness. That's why he saved us. And if you listen closely to these last couple sermons of Pastor Bob, you see, when our hearts are right with God, when we're ready to meet God, then holiness is not something that No, it's something we embrace, because that's where the joy of life is. Let me prove it. On Psalm 15, verses 10 and 11, our Lord was the night before he was to be crucified. And he said to his disciples in the upper room, he said, if you're my disciples, keep my commandments. And he said, you shall abide in my love, even as I abide in my Father's, keep my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You see, what he wants, see, the goodness of God is that we might have the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of the Lord. That's his goodness. Joy and goodness are all fruit of the Spirit. And you know what I think, dear ones? I believe that what's lacking is that we lack joy, the joy of the Lord, much in our Christian experience. But the joy of the Lord is when the goodness of God is spread out to where we embrace it and we are obedient to him, and then he imparts his wonderful joy to us. Look at number 5. Pastor Bob this morning said about getting ready to meet God. How about the goodness of a living hope? The goodness of a living hope. Someone get 1 Peter 1:3-5. I can quote it, but I want someone to read 1 Peter 1:3-5. And someone read 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Just think of that. Look at those 4 things. Incorruptible. Our bodies are corruptible, aren't they? But we have a living hope of an incorruptible God, just like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, undefiled. There's nothing that will defile us. Sin defiles us now, but then nothing will defile us. Third, that fadeth not away. It'll always be full. It won't diminish. And then reserved in heaven for his people. I remember about a month or so ago, I was at I officiated at the graveside, and I refer to this very verse. See, that's reserved in heaven until we take up our reservation, and Brother Sproul has now received that reservation. So good that you mentioned today, Pastor Bob, about him, because he was a giant of the faith, and so many lives have been touched by him. At our Wednesday evening Bible class, one of our members said, please pray for R.C. Sproul. The Lord hadn't taken him yet. And then the next morning you called me and said that the Lord had taken him. But you see, there's the goodness of God there to give us good men. Just think of all the good men that we have available to. We have a good pastor here in Bob, and we need to be thankful for that. It was good to see so many come out today. This is the way this church should be filled all the time. In other words, we express the thanksgiving to God, his goodness, by coming here to worship. Not finding excuses not to come, but to come. And what I'm noticing is there's a joy that there's between each other. We're glad to see each other. But most important, we should be glad to come and worship God. He's worthy of it because of his goodness. Look, come back to me again. Oh, anybody have 2 Thessalonians 2:16? Okay. The good hope. He calls it a good hope. Notice we're talking about God's goodness. That's a good hope. God is good. But you know what I love? I love this passage from Titus chapter 2, verse 11, where it says, "The grace of God appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldliness, so that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." He's going to burst on the scene. Pastor Bob and I talk often. Do you think we're at the last days? And I think we are. And that should kindle us an anticipation of meeting the Lord in the air. That is goodness. That's eternal goodness. Oh, just sharing with you, I just sense that goodness within my own soul. As we're just sharing these things together, it's so good to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. So good. Let's continue. His goodness not to withhold any good thing. Psalm 84:11. Well, you heard me say this before. He says, "The Lord God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." And you heard me say this before. I claimed that verse in 1980. And 9-10 years later, I experienced that good thing, Daisy. I claimed that verse, Psalm 84:11, back in 1980. It was a low time in my life. But anyway, I just share that personal because in going over this, I just thought how personal is to me these things that we're talking about. And that's when you share with others, if it's not real to your own heart, how can it be real to others? And that goodness, the goodness of God, is real to my own heart. And I just love to share. I can't share enough. There's one other thing. Look here, look at 7. His infinite goodness to His people, though they suffer in this life, glory in the next. Somebody get Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18. No, we can't. We're finite. We can't comprehend. But one thing I can say to you, listen to these words. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But this we do know, that when we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." Just think of that goodness. That one day we'll be able, Exodus 33:20 says, no one can look upon the face of God and live. But here we will look at him in all his glory, because we'll be like him. That's infinite goodness, to think of what he has in store for those who love him. Now look here at one of the verses that I really love. I want someone to read Psalm 31:19. Someone read verse 31:19. This is so good. And I want whoever reads it, I want you to tell what it's speaking to you. What does it speak to you about? In other words, I want you to comment on it. Psalm 31:19. You got it? Go ahead. Bless you. You know, I'm not going to put you on the spot, dear girl, but thank you for reading it. You see, what this verse tells us, that His goodness is great to those who reverence Him and to those who trust in Him before the sons of men. In other words, we're not ashamed of Him. We're not to tell others about the Lord. We're not ashamed to tell others about the Lord Jesus. We love to tell others about Him. That's what it means to trust in Him before others, that we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're bold to pronounce it, deliver the gospel. And then look at 9:9. His goodness is great. Well, that's the one we did do. But look at 10. His goodness and deliverance, kindness, and tender mercies and I have three: Psalm 105, Psalm 86:5, Psalm 106:1. Would someone please take Psalm 100 verse 5, some take Psalm 86 verse 5, and Psalm 106:1. Please take, please do that. And then someone Psalm Matthew 7:11. We have four verses there where we want to show you the kindness and the tender mercies, and like I have here in 10. Someone, who has the first one? Who has Psalm 105? Okay, the Lord is good, his steadfast love endureth forever. Okay, in the Psalm 105, it says this, that his mercy is everlasting. But it's steadfast love, his mercy. Is, in other words, mercy and goodness go together, and you'll see that in these other verses. So, who has Psalm 86:5? So there is goodness with forgiveness. Just think how many times whoever comes up here on to open up the, when you look back over the week, think of how many times you've sinned against him. Do you know what one of my favorite verses is? The goodness of God, Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with you that he may be feared. Eternal goodness. Oh, praise his name. Praise his name. You know what I believe? I believe when we get caught up with our Lord and really delight in him, the Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord and he'll withhold no good thing from you. I believe that when people get really fall in love with him, I think that's when God begins to do a good work in us. Anyone want to comment on that? Eric, do you have something you want to say? Okay. All right. I just, if nothing else, just allow the goodness to warm your heart. The goodness of God to warm your heart. Okay, let's go down here. Oh, anybody have Psalm 106:1? Psalm 106:1. There again, it's similar. There's about three verses here that speak about the goodness of God is his mercy that he extends to us. And then Matthew 7:11. Who has Matthew 7:11? Just think, if we know how to give good things to each other, how much more does he know to give good things to us? And all we have to do is ask him. Ask him, the things that are good are those things that will honor him and are good for us. Look down here under 5. His goodness is seen in his lordship over all. Now here, I want you to use your memory. I want you to look about throughout human history. I want you to think of all the examples of God's goodness in human history. Now, Pastor Bob, you are a scholar on history. And certainly you ought to have a lot of them.
Where Washington and his army overtook the British study these little pieces of problems. I mean, Washington and his army could have been taken out at any moment during that period of time. It was this close to being destroyed. And yet God protected them and sovereignly provided them. I mean, listen, we shouldn't even be here. This should be a British country.
Amen. I'm glad you shared that, because it is God who raised up the United States of America, and don't ever forget it. God raised up the United States of America, and all you have to do is look at Acts chapter 17 and verses 24, 25, 26. You know, he's sovereign over the nations, and regardless how people want to trash this country, listen, God raised it up, and he has his divine purpose. He has used this nation as a great missionary outreach to many people around the world. Yeah. Exactly. It's true, we're turning away from God now, but we need to get revived again in our spirit. That, you know what came to my mind? How about Dunkirk? Any of you know what happened at Dunkirk? 300,000 were hemmed in by the Germans. And if they lost those 300,000 men, the war would have been altogether different. But God brought the clouds and everything that the Luftwaffe couldn't bomb them, and they were delivered safely to live to fight another day. How about Russia? When Germany went into Russia, they were just eating up ground after ground, and they were there between Leningrad, Moscow. And what does God do? But he gives the coldest winter ever so that they couldn't navigate anymore, and eventually they were defeated. But you can go back through history and you can see the goodness of God to stay the hand of evil, because God is in charge of history. And that's one of the things that we should be so thankful for. History is his story, and it's the unfolding of events. Instead of looking down about, well, terrible thing, we got to say, what is God doing? Yeah.
The Rhine froze. Japan, which was an allied force with Nazi Germany, never communicated to Hitler that they were going to bomb Pearl Harbor. Hitler never proved that, would have never proved it. But that's what invited the Americans to drop an atomic bomb in Hiroshima. And that changed the course of that war. All these things to say is that, you know, we will be speaking to Germany today. It's work for God.
Amen. If you look back at your outline, he's working. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 1:11. He's working all things after the counsel of his own will. That's when I like to say that what is happening in history is his story as it's being played out. And look, Pastor Bob just quoted Romans 8:28. I want you to listen, read the whole three verses. Someone get, Linda, would you get Romans 8:28-30, please? Romans 8:28-30. And then I want to speak about how the Old Testament prophet Hosea described the goodness of people in his day and how many times it imitates what's happening today in the Lord's people. Go ahead, Linda.
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many.
Do you know, Linda and the rest, love and mercy is very descriptive of the words of goodness. Now, we know that verse so well that God is working all things together for good. There's not one of you here that has not gone through difficult times, but he's working that together for good. We don't understand all the things that are happening, but he's working it together for good. He cannot lie. He cannot deny himself. He don't have to explain. Did he explain to Job what he was doing when he left Satan to attack him? But he worked together for good. because he was much better off at the end than he was in the beginning. And so we have to understand that when God is, I don't care what trial you, and I am so thankful for every trial I've been to, because I wouldn't be what I am today if I had not gone through those trials. He's working them together for good. That's his goodness. And, but here's what I want to quote. Listen, in Ephesians, in Hosea 6:4, and I wonder if this doesn't describe some of us at times. For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. So many times, I'm afraid that describes many Christians today. It's like a morning cloud that soon dissipates. But I'd like to close with this. The full expression of God's goodness is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you all to turn to Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. And dear Stephanie, would you read that loud? Bless your heart. Acts 10:38. Do you know, this young lady has attended Bible classes ever since she was a little girl, when we used to meet at her home. And she's still growing up to be a fine woman. Go ahead, young woman. Go ahead. Read it loud, Stephanie.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by devils, for God was with him.
So what does that say? Can I put you on the spot, Stephanie? What does that say to you? Okay, well, listen, bless your, that's all right. Do you know, here's what I wanted to share with us. That goodness that God did, was the Lord did, was for, and this describes goodness, the benefit of others. For the benefit of others. You can't speak of goodness better than that. It's for the benefit of others, and that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did in his humanity, and what he's doing right now at the right hand of the Father. Oh, that we might be imitators of him. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I want someone to read 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Why we should always give thanks? Because he's working it together for good. Okay. The next time something goes against you or something of a painful nature, remember, give thanks. God is working out together for your good. Any questions before we close? It's 2:00. Any questions before we close? I want you to stand and I want you to sing this chorus again. I love this.
spiritual wisdom, that is the experience of that knowledge, Father God, that may be applied by your Spirit, Father God. And I just proclaim from your servant, Pastor Bob, that we may not be hearers of your word, but also doers to the glory of your holy name, my God. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this gathering, Lord God. And trusting you until next time, Father God, I pray that you grant us all traveling mercies, Father God. Until we meet again by your doing and unto your glory, we ask and we pray and we plead, O God, in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You won't see me next week. I've got to be in another church. If you don't have to explain to me that when you don't see us, you have to have a plan. Okay, you just have to.